Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory. Church, welcome back to the podcast. We are here again with another installment of Beyond the Message, Three Questions from Sunday. You are joined this morning or today or this evening, whenever you're listening to this, by me, Sam. And I, again, am always here with the pastor who preached yesterday. We got Michael.
Hey, Michaels, guys.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Thanks for joining us this morning. So we are continuing on in our 2 Corinthians message series. So 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 18 yesterday. Some of the highlights, Michael, from your message yesterday, there's a continuing thread that's being pulled here where Paul's defending the authenticity of his ministry, not from a place of self-promotion, but really seeking to get to the heart and the root of the issue of proclaiming the gospel and the sufficiency of Christ. And so throughout Corinthians, we're seeing that. Throughout 2 Corinthians, we're seeing that. And then, yeah, just one of the points that was made here, Paul's sufficiency comes from God as a minister of the new covenant. And then your main point yesterday was the key to real transformation is the Spirit of God. So our first question, we always have plenty of more things to talk about than what makes it into the 35, 40, 45 minutes on Sunday, depending upon who you are. No names
maybe
being
close
named.
To 50. Hey, I throw Jake under the bus often for this.
But, I wasn't going to say anything.
But 8 a.m., I went long. But, you know, okay, so here's this insight into sermon prep here. So for me personally, if I have, like, I kind of write a modified manuscript,
yep,
bunch of bullet points and then some paragraphs. But when I do that, if I have a modified manuscript that's like 7 pages, I know it's going to be a long sermon. And on Thursday of last week, I had 11 and a half.
Oh boy.
And I was like, oh no, I can't do this because the sermon's going to be an hour long and then the podcast is going to be an hour long.
Oh no.
And so, yeah, there was a lot of cutting. So a lot was left on the cutting room floor this time for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Our first question. That's why we get to do this podcast. Maybe,
yep,
may not be the exact reason we started this. So, if you had more time in your message to expand or include something else, Michael, what would that have been?
Lots of stuff.
All right. Hit us. Let's go.
I think when we say the key to real transformation is the Spirit of God, obviously, yep, Paul's talking about, New Covenant versus Old Covenant all in chapter 3, which is just was a joy to learn and, yep, to look at again. But if we say the key to real transformation is the Spirit of God, I think I mentioned this really briefly in, mm-hmm, the sermon. My caution to people is that people start to look for an extra experience with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Different denominations teach that. That's not at all what Paul was trying to say here. He's saying you need a new heart.
Yeah.
And we believe that you receive the Spirit at when you receive salvation.
Yeah.
And so I just think of Romans 8, 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Like,
yep,
so you, when you possess the Spirit, that is at that point that you possess salvation. So you don't need an extra experience of the Spirit. There's a daily filling of the Spirit, mm-hmm, but not seeking out a second experience or third or fourth or fifth or tenth experience of the Spirit to do this because we already have the Spirit. Paul's emphasis was the transformation of the heart yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I think there's a lot of that. I think you can go into two ditches where it's all about experience and then the other ditch of being, putting God in a box and being like, well, that's just crazy. Like, you,
sure,
know, and there's no way that God would work like that. I'm like, well, I don't, but I think, yeah, the heart of what you were, saying there, you look around and there's a lot of, cool, I think, opportunities where people are seeing, what was that? There was that revival last year.
Asbury College.
Yeah, Asbury College. There's Ohio State campus. There's some football players that are proclaiming people are getting baptized. And it's kind of like this, it's almost like I don't want to doubt that God's at work there, but I think there is the cautionary tale of like, we shouldn't be like the point of walking with the Lord isn't like just wait for the next thing to pop up and then go be a part of it. Like if you're present somewhere where God starts to do something like that, absolutely don't resist, like, or seek to be used in that way. But I just think that that concern of like, if you're always focused on the experience, it is like you're really more making about you and your feelings and not so much as like, does this glorify
the Lord? Don't chase the experience.
Yeah.
Chase the Lord. Right. And if he shows up in a unique way in a certain time frame, that's awesome. Like you said, be a part of that. That's great. Obviously whatever that experience is lines up with the Word.
Yeah.
So anyway, just want to make sure that our people are aware that, hey, we're not seeking out extra experiences from the Spirit. We're saying we need a transformed heart to change. Yeah. I think the other big thing that you could have taken this text to talk through, like, cause Paul's defending his ministry and the authenticity of his ministry, and he talks about his sufficiency. I think I would love to just encourage our people that volunteer in different ministries that feel timid, that feel like not worthy to be bold in ministry, kids ministry volunteers, youth ministry volunteers who may look at their peers that are serving and say like, oh man, I'm not as charismatic as that person. My personality is just not, I don't know if I can say that. I don't have the theological knowledge. And Paul's saying, my sufficiency came from God. My worthiness in ministry and adequacy in ministry came from God, not what I could pull off on my own. So I just want to encourage people, like when you know the gospel truth, that's what brings hope. And Paul said that hope is what brought boldness.
Yeah.
And so if you have hope in the gospel, you can be bold no matter your background, no matter what you look like, no matter your socioeconomic status. Like, be bold because you are proclaiming the gospel.
Yeah. What about like even in that where it's, I think, even not just organizational ministry, but like if you're somebody that is showing up here on Sunday, but then there's no evidence of like on, like, does that impact your work? Does that impact how you live at home in your, like, or if you just put that in a box of like, well, I don't know enough to like have spiritual conversations with people. Well, you know what God's doing in your heart, and you know that you can talk about that with other people. That's a great place to start.
You know you were dead, now you're alive. Right. Talk about that.
Right.
Everybody wants to hear about a resurrection story. That's amazing. So just talk about what God's done in your life and the hope you have in the gospel.
Yeah, that's sweet.
And then when it comes to just effective, ineffective ministry, what are the results from that? Just a unique thing that I wish I had time to talk through yesterday. You know, when the law is originally given to Moses, he starts to come down the mountain. The Israelites are already, they fashion the golden calf. And we mentioned this yesterday, but what was the result of them fashioning this golden calf and worshiping this idol? 3,000 people died that day. So they couldn't fulfill the law like before it was even handed down.
It was a righteous judgment. Right?
Totally,
It's,
they were killed because of their idol worship.
Yeah.
And so you see that, but then the really unique thing is when the Spirit of God comes down in Acts chapter 2, what happens? 3,000 people are saved.
Yeah.
And just, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah,
like,
that's sweet.
Somebody couldn't keep the law, 3,000 people die. Because it's a ministry of death, like it's a ministry of condemnation.
Right.
But then when the Spirit comes, 3,000 people are saved. And so I wish we had time to go into that, because that's just an incredible thing that God does over time to help us understand the importance of the Spirit.
When you mentioned that, I was like, I don't know the last time I've read just about like the giving of the Ten Commandments. And look, went back. Exodus 32, 25 through 29. That's the story of that. Like, that's the severity of sin. Like, when you want to see that, it's like, that's how big of a deal this is.
This PG-13, if not R, you read it.
Yeah. It's not like go get your kicks and read this, but it's like, wow, this is like, but then you put those two side by side, you read Exodus 32, you read Acts chapter 2. It's like, look at what God is doing to proclaim his glory and to draw people to himself. That's super sweet.
Yeah. So there's probably a million other things we could talk about, but those are probably the big things that I wish we would have hit on.
You mentioned this. One of the things I love that we do is, you know, we have pastors and elders and worship leaders that will stay around after service and talk to people. But you said there was somebody that came up and talked to you after service, just kind of had that question of what was the question that
Well, it went back to what we talked about earlier as far as the experience. Yeah. Like, hey, you talked a lot about, Michael, you talked a lot about performance and external repair and regulations and stuff, but I don't want to do external stuff, but I want to experience God more. And so what's the caution that you might have for me in that? And that goes back to, you're chasing the experience.
Or the feelings. Like, don't just do it for the feels, but like abide and be present and be content. Really. Yep. Yeah. That's sweet. Which does, I mean, another point, you know, we mentioned this last week, if there's, we're working on a way to make it so that, people can text in questions that come up, like, you know, Sunday afternoon or whatever, if they wanted to, have some stuff. But for the time being, if you're a regular listener, you're here at our church and there's something that strikes you on Sunday that you would like us to talk about in this podcast, feel free to shoot me an email. You just email me, samanderson@veritaschurch.org.
Are you ready for all those emails?
Yeah, that's great. I'll do it. I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be fun.
Sure.
But just to have more time to say, like, hey, this is a great way to engage and say, there's a good opportunity. If you've got a question, we can talk through that here. So want to do that. All right, Michael. So without going into, I'm sure you've got some more of those four, six, or however many pages that hit the cutting room floor, but kind of hit the big picture there. So second question that I've got for you. One of the things that you said yesterday was that – part of your, it's part of like more towards the end of your message and the application, talking through verse 18. So you said we become what we behold. Mm-hmm. What are some of the red flags that should caution us that we're beholding something other than Jesus?
I think a really practical one is just the quantity of time that you're spending on something.
Yeah.
How much are you engaged in it? How much are you thinking about it? How much money are you spending on it? And you may look at and say, oh, wow, I didn't realize that I'm giving this much time to XYZ.
Yeah.
And so just do a little time edit, your thought edit, or not edit, audit.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said edit. Yeah.
We mean what you know.
So do it, just an audit of your thoughts and your budget and your time. And I think that will show a pretty clear picture of things that you are beholding.
Because it really, that exposes what are you prioritizing?
Sure.
Like, what are you shaping your life around? you know, not to say there's not space for personal finance, but it's like, hey, if every single waking hour, you just can't help but check the stock market, unless that's your job. Great.
Sure.
But you just keep checking the stock market and keep looking at your retirement account, keep checking your net worth. Like,
but even you said, like, even if that's your job, like, you shouldn't do it at every waking hour.
Right.
Like, there's a place for your job.
Yeah. Right.
But then you also have a family.
Right.
And you also need to spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
Beholding
Jesus.
Is
that preoccupying every,
like, go do your job and do it great for the glory of God.
Right.
And then you got to put it down at some point.
Yeah.
And you still need to behold Jesus, whether that is your job or not.
No, that's a good rebuke. Thanks for that.
No,
good check.
Not a rebuke, just clarification.
What else? So, audit our time, audit our thoughts, really see what are we living for, really?
Totally. That's it. I mean, I think that's probably just the easiest practical example.
Yeah, that's sweet, which kind of keeps coming up a lot in this message series so far. So, hint, hint, guys, I should take note of that. Anyways, third question. One of your application points yesterday was daily behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. What are helpful rhythms or practices we can employ to grow in this area?
Yeah. So he said, we're being transformed as we behold the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
And we looked at Hebrews chapter 1, where Jesus is the exact imprint of God. He's the radiance of the glory of God. So he said, I said, behold Jesus. Mm. How do you behold Jesus? Well, he's in John 1, we find out he is the word.
Right.
So behold his word. And then what is the church? It's the body of Christ.
Yep.
And so behold his body, like engage with the word of God, engage with the people of God. And you're going to be beholding Jesus when you do that. And as you're going to behold the glory of the Lord. And so, it's going to be really hard to behold the glory of the Lord apart from his word and apart from the people of God.
Mm, that's really good. Yeah. I don't get anything else. That's sweet.
I mean, I think the one thing, guys, that I would encourage us with, I didn't mention this yesterday, but in Zechariah chapter 4, it says, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Mm. And if we want to be changed in this lifetime, we want to be changed forever. It's not going to be by your power. It's not going to be by your might. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. So you don't need an additional experience for that. But when you trust in Christ and you believe the gospel and receive that free gift of salvation, you have the transforming Spirit that helps you obey and gives you the freedom to live life and honor him.
Yeah, that's sweet. Michael, thanks for joining us this morning. Church, let's continue to remember the key to real transformation is the Spirit of God. Let's be people who continue to be challenged to be raised up as mature disciples, help other people be raised up as mature disciples, be sent out as everyday missionaries, all for the glory of God. We love you, church. See you Sunday.